the pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Back here on the program, second hour begins. Jim is next.
I think you know this is the truth, but I'm going to have to say it again. Nobody, no stinking baddie, especially a lying hillbilly redneck like that Johnny B, who lies about serious matters, Paul. What he said, claiming about me being a whatever, I know what he said. You know what he said. That is libel. I talked to a lawyer. That is serious libel. It's a lie. It's insulting. It's not humiliating. It's a pure stinking lie. He's a stinking, rotten, lowdown. I'd better never see him, or he might not. I'll just not say anymore. But he's a stinking, rotten.
Well, what do you mean? Are you threatening to kill him? Is that what you're saying?
Hell no, I'm not threatening to kill him, you lying scumbag. That's how you do things. You twist things.
Well, you just got to say, if I ever see him,
he better not meet me, and that's all I'm saying. I can't stand that lying scumbag. He's lower than hell, like you are. He makes up crap and takes us. That low-life scumbag didn't
drop. Jim, what have I made up about you?
All the lies you've said about me over the years, many lies.
Can you name me one?
I wasn't a good ball player. Always sticking lies. You're a liar. You're crooked as hell. You're crooked as hell. That's all I've got for you. But so is that stinking Johnny B. A pure hillbilly stinking. And it's like Jeff said. I'll leave you with this. It's like Jeff said. I don't want to call anymore because my wife gets all over me about calling that show.
Oh, hold on. You're married, Jim?
No, I said Jeff said that.
Oh, you? No, I thought you just got through saying, I don't want to, because my wife gets all over me.
No, I said, that's what Jeff said. His wife couldn't stand to hear him.
Because if you were married, I really had a couple more questions to ask you.
Right, I ain't married, and neither are you, you idiot.
That's news to my wife, but anyway, I appreciate the call. I'm sorry, I need to be composed. Breaking news, Jim returns to the show. 90 minutes after quitting again. That silence was for me, not for you. Let's get some more calls here. Daryl in Baton Rouge. Hello, Daryl.
Good afternoon, Paul. How you doing?
Having the time of my life.
Man, Jim's becoming certifiable, man. He's becoming certifiable. Listen, I want to talk about the caller bracket.
Please.
I'm glad Legend won, and I'm proud that he won. But old Augie out of New Orleans sounds like he's sucking on sour grapes. He called the other day and said, I got better beat out by Darryl from the barbershop. Well, what does that tell you, Augie? A new caller like me beat you. That's saying that you ain't worth nothing, that everybody don't like you, Augie. You're crazy. You know, I'd rather whittle me out of wooden beak and jump in the backyards and pick worms with the chickens than ever have you represent me in any kind of case. Man, it's crazy. Hey, Paul, what do you think about Augie calling up and acting like he's the king of the world?
Daryl, if I could tell you a secret, I don't ever listen to anything he says. Thanks, Daryl. Appreciate the call. John, I wish I had said that about this guy as well. John in St. Louis.
Talk to me, Paul.
John, I'm so glad to hear from you.
I bet you are anyway. I'm going to comment a couple of things here about Jim who just called in. Jim reminds me of Johnny Paycheck. Remember Johnny Paycheck?
Take this job.
Yeah, Jim, Jim, take your job and shove it, Jim. And another great song that Johnny Paycheck wrote was The Only Hell My Mama Ever Raised. And you know something?
Oh, that's a good song.
That is a great song. Those are two great songs from the 70s. And, you know, Jim, you are an embarrassment. You are a fraud, Jim, and a fake. and your kids and your mom and your mothers and everyone you've known who grew up with you have discounted your input in your whole life, Jim. And then I'm going to segue on to Mr. AJ. Paul, this is the main reason I called today. Paul, whenever you have the reunion or whatever you want to call it, the homecoming on media day, I think you told me it was in Dallas. I'm ready to take the gloves off, AJ. I want to get into either a boxing match or we're going to do a duel in the sun.
No, John, no duel. Maybe just a friendly, big gloves.
No. We're going to get the boxing gloves off. Can you get a ring set up there?
Yeah,
we can get a ring. Because I want to duke it out.
That wouldn't be difficult for us at all.
So, well, we're going to have to.
John,
my
question to you is this. I mean, you told me you're 77 years old, right?
I am. Hey, let me tell you. I'm 77. He's 37. I can still take him out, Paul.
No, John, I mean, the odds of a 77-year-old man being able to contend with a youngster is not good.
Well, I'm going to tell you who I'm.
Do you work out? Do you train?
Yes, I do. And you know who I'm bringing with me, don't you?
No, I don't.
I'm bringing some of the couple of young men from the juvenile delinquents.
Oh, you're bringing some juvenile delinquents? No, that's not fair.
Well, it should be fair, Paul. And you know something, Paul? This is what I'm talking about with your show. You keep putting up with Jim. And let Jim run your show. And your show is a sham.
Wow. These calls have not been kind to me. Felix is calling next.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
I am doing great.
Hey, one thing, this isn't what I was calling about. But the John from St. Louis picture of the Nixon thing is classic.
That is funny.
Yeah, it is funny. But, you know, what I was calling about was on Dominic and all that. And I'm the one that called in on his uncle and stuff and everything. I think Dominic's fairly innocent on it. I think the adults around him took advantage of him and messed him up.
Yeah, well, I wish he would call in and explain, but I'm afraid you're right. He's just a nice kid who's a big fan, and there were some puppet masters pulling the strings.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you seen the little video that he posted up?
I have not.
Okay, I mean, he came out, and it's, you ought to go look at it. It's a good video, and of course, he's at the beach, and none of us can be at the beach and this and that. But he's a cool kid and this and that. But I have met
him, Felix.
Yeah, no, I mean he seems real good and this and that. He kind of got caught up, and other people kind of missed him.
I mean, all of us at 12 years old run afoul of something. I mean, I broke a neighbor's window. I mean, what do you want me to tell you?
Well, if he doesn't run afoul of something, then I'd be worried about him,
yeah,
wouldn't you?
Well, Felix, thank you very, very much. Whammy is in South Carolina. Hello, Whammy.
Hello, Mr. Shammer. I mean, Mr. Paul Feinbaum. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
First of all, thank you so much to your call screener for taking my call. I'm sorry I don't know him yet. Short time, first time. I'd like to also give a shout-out to Mr. Lamont Paris and Don Staley for doing so well in their respective sports. Very proud Gamecock right now. But I'm calling mostly Mr. Feinbaum in response to the caller who called you earlier, who's a prize or a price fighter, I couldn't tell,
yeah,
and who accused you of fixing the brackets. I'm not sure if that fella is or was about the call brackets being fixed, as I am sure that he got hit in the head way too many times and has too many bolts loose to accuse you and your team of fixing that simple bracket game.
Yeah, I don't know why anybody would think we would do that. For what benefit?
Exactly. Not like anyone's making money off of it.
No. I don't think.
So, I'd like to just bring up one more thing that many have brought up today and over the many days of the statement by Dawn Staley saying that she would support men playing sports games. And I'd like to, if you forgive me, if you've already, shared this, but would you share with me your opinion of that topic?
Well, I mean, I'm troubled by that arena to mix, you know, men playing women's sports. I think most reasonable people would probably have an issue with that. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah. And
I mean, I have not studied it. I'm not giving you some obfuscated answer here. I have seen the statistics on it. It's happened very few times, and because of that, it has become a lightning rod. The circumstances Saturday were interesting that she was asked it. I know the person who asked the question because he used to work for us. So, it was still a question, and she answered it. Some have given her credit for answering it. Most have criticized her answer.
Yes. Well, since you're in that same industry, do you believe the question might have been asked as a point of fuel, so to speak?
I think that would be, I don't want to rely too much on the fact that I knew the guy who asked it. He used to be a radio producer. But I understand, I think you have to, by the way, that really doesn't matter when it comes to the answer, and I'm not trying to confuse the issue.
True.
Was an unusual place to have the question asked, but I think Dawn Staley would have answered that question under any circumstances, because that's how she believes. There's a lot about Dawn Staley that people disagree with. There's a lot that but 99% of what she stands for in terms of how she runs a basketball program is extremely admirable.
Exactly. Yeah, it's unfortunate that this.
But I've never really gotten hung up on people believing things that I don't agree with. And just because I don't agree with her, I'm not sure really why or how this has become such a big deal. I don't think she has much influence on it. Do you?
It's arguable, given that they had 18 million people watching.
But Whammy, I agree with you. But of those 18 million people watching, was not a topic of the conversation? Yeah, I mean, listen, if she started campaigning, then we have, a different conversation here.
Excellent point.
I would not want her to, as a fan of hers, but that's her prerogative. Everybody's politics is different. But I agree with you. I think it is an unfair advantage, but that's not a political statement. That's just an opinion based on common sense. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And Dale, on a recent visit to Tuscaloosa and what Kalen DeBoer is up to before his first spring game on Saturday. Brad is up next in Georgia. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Mr. Paul. What is going on, brother?
We are doing great. Thank you very much.
Hey, man. Before I get to my top five coaches in college football, can I address two of your callers?
Please.
Larry from Shelby. When Georgia comes over there, September 28th, and whoops y'all's ass, 1 week before that, I'm dumping all my 401k in Kleenex because you and your brethren are going to make me a lot of money. And that's about
that.
By
the way, you may want to look into some some new drugs for anxiety.
You know something, Paul? I know a lot about those drugs, but it's all good. John from St. Louis, that was the best call you have ever made to the Paul Feinbaum Show. And like Negan from The Walking Dead, I am 100% into you now. So, Mr. Paul, can I give you my top five coaches?
Yes.
Kyle Whittingham. Jim Kelly. Sarkisian. And the only two on the list, on my list, is one, two natties, would be Dabo Sweeney. And number one would be Kirby. What do you think?
I think it's a good list. Brad, thank you very, very much for checking in. Tanner is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Tanner.
Hey, Paul. So I want to take the $100 Dominic's uncle owes me, and I want to put that on AJ over John from St. Louis. What's the payout on that? What's the going odds?
We're working right now on that, but it would be a good payoff.
Okay. Yeah, I want to roll that money into that. but seriously, Paul, that Nate Oates contract extension, that timing's looking better and better, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I don't know is where Nate Oates fit into the equation, but it really doesn't matter. Greg Burns was smart to lock him down anyway.
I'm glad he's – it looks like, for time being anyway, he's sticking around here in Tuscaloosa. But, Paul, you think, behind the scenes, behind closed doors, maybe Greg Burns and Nate Oates have – maybe Nate Oates knows a little bit more about the time frame of when they might, even if it's a couple more years out, when they might be building a new facility, or you think it's
– Well, I think just, what you're going to see is a new practice facility first. I think that will be the one residual. I'm not overly optimistic based on what I hear, and I happen to have been through Alabama the other day on spending that kind of money. It could happen, and if a Final Four bid won't help facilitate that, nothing will. But it will be interesting to see how long and how much resonance this year has on his situation there.
All right. Well, I've heard some similar things. I'm not too upbeat about it. I think the man deserves it, but, it's a lot of money. But, Paul, I've heard a lot of good things coming out of spring camp, a lot of good things. And I would just advise any of my Alabama brethren who can be at the A-Day game this Saturday. It should be a big crowd, a lot of potential on the field. But, Paul, if this whole AJ versus John from St. Louis doesn't happen, just make sure Dominic's uncle knows I want my $100 bill.
We will make sure you get that, Tanner. Thanks so much. Stacy is up next. Hey, Stacy.
Paul Feinbaum, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
For what?
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Now, you're going to sit up there and you're going to let Larry from Shelby lose the call of the year. You know Larry won. You know he won. Let me tell you something, Paul. See, the thing is, you let legend do whatever legend want to do. I have never saw you hung up on legend. Legend is a good caller. Don't get me wrong. He's a good caller. But you know why he's a good caller, Paul?
Why's that?
Because, see, some of us call in Now, some of us be funny with what we say. We hit it right off the bat. But see, when Legend, he ain't funny every day. But when he ain't funny, you give him a chance to rebound himself. See, you don't give all us that chance. You hang up the phone on us. You rush the break on us. But you let Legend have a whole 15, 20 minutes by itself. That ain't right, Paul. Larry should have won. Larry should have won. As a matter of fact, Larry did win. I honestly think you went and did something to them, Paul. Now, Paul, you know I like you, Paul. You my man, Paul. But right is right and wrong is wrong, Paul. You know Larry won, man.
Larry lost by more than 10 percentage points.
But he was winning. He was winning.
No, listen. We monitor the whole thing. He never had a shot. He never led the entire contest. But thank you, Stacy, for telling us what we do here. But we're always appreciative of learning things that we didn't know prior. Stuart Mandel has been in Tuscaloosa recently, visiting with the whole Tide scene, and Kalen DeBoer. He'll join us next.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This Saturday, a number of spring games across the board. Look at those 3 p.m. games. Georgia, Tennessee, LSU a few minutes later, Ole Miss later in the afternoon. What an afternoon that is going to be all over ESPN. Headline from The Athletic. Kalen DeBoer is undaunted by the responsibilities of replacing Nick Saban. Stuart Mandel made the long trip down to Sweet Home, Alabama. He joins us now. Stuart, thank you for the time. So take us through the travelogue and what you learned trying to find out more about the new Tide under DeBoer.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, that time of year, it's great to get out to places in the spring because there's actually the coaches have time to actually sit down and talk with you, and you can sometimes see some of practice. Obviously, I think the transition from Nick Saban to Kalen DeBoer is one of, if not the most intriguing storylines of this spring, and it was a great opportunity to get down there. I've certainly visited there many times when Saban was there. Same building, same design, right? Same carpets probably, but man, a much different person. And I've known Kalen DeBoer for a little bit, and he's just this really laid back, down to earth guy. And that's certainly not what Nick Saban was known as. He was the best coach of all time. He did so many amazing things, but you know, people kind of walked around in fear of the guy 24/7. And so now they're working with a guy. And there aren't that many people left, frankly, that were there under Saban, but the ones that are, you know, around the building, it's been a big adjustment, but probably in a good way, to work with somebody who is just really polar opposite personality of Nick Saban, but he himself has obviously a track record of success as a coach.
Let's talk about, before we get to DeBoer in a little more detail, just the absence of Saban. I know you mentioned in your piece that he's not there. We know that, and he's not spending much time on that campus right now. That could change, but describe what you felt not seeing Nick Saban in Tuscaloosa for the first time in 17 years.
In some ways, Paul, it felt like he hadn't left because he's still everywhere. You walk down the halls of the football building, and it's just lined with picture after picture of him hoisting national championship trophies. I make reference in the story to going into a restaurant and seeing your show on last week, and it had a graphic on the screen that said Nick Saban retired. Thanks for letting us know that, by the way, Paul. I wasn't aware.
We wanted to make sure everybody
knows. In April that he had retired. What's that?
We wanted to make sure everyone knows.
Yeah, no, I mean, keep reminding everybody all off season for sure. And even at practice, people were talking about him, you know, while they were watching practice. So, and that's to be expected. The guy was there 17 years. He made such a huge impact. The fact that I wouldn't expect him to just be, you know, wiped from everybody's memories overnight. But, you know, it kind of, all of those examples I just gave you speak to what Kalen DeBoer is going to be dealing with. I think every move he makes, every, you know, we'll have our first spring game this Saturday. We'll probably be compared to Nick Saban's spring games, his first, you know, home opener, his first SEC game. Everything he does is going to be compared to the way Nick Saban did things. And while he doesn't seem particularly daunted by that, certainly no other coach in the country has had to do something like this in a long, long time.
Stuart, you said you've known DeBoer. As you sat with him in that big Nick Saban former office, what did you sense and what did you hear?
Heard the same exact guy that was at Washington. Very real and down to earth, and you know, thoughtful in everything he talks about. I'll be very curious to see if he is the same exact Kalen DeBoer a year from now. Like, I think when you first get there to a new job, it's easy to say you're going to stay the same and you're going to do things the same way you've always done them. But I don't know, after a year of the grind of, you know, starting with SEC media days through the season and all the extra attention, will he still be quite so open and available a year from now? I mean, if you've got a microphone or a recorder and you go through Tuscaloosa, he'll sit down and talk with you right now, which is, you know, not the way Nick Saban operated. He was very selective about media appearances, for one thing. Will he still be up for that a year from now? We'll see. But right now, it's like, it literally, truly right now, it seemed like you just, same coach who we interviewed at Washington, same exact guy, same exact personality. It's just now sitting in what I used to remember as Nick Saban's office.
Stuart, nobody knows the answers, but being there last week, knowing the program like you do, knowing DeBoer, as this thing gets closer and even maybe a year from now, depending on the record, what do you think his biggest issues are going to be? We know he's a great coach, but what challenges will he have that he has never dealt with before?
Well, as I was there and thought about it some more, you know, I think it would be surprising if there's some huge drop-off in the first year just because there is so much talent still there. Yes, there were a few high-profile transfers, but on the most part, this is going to look very much like a Nick Saban Alabama team because it's mostly guys he recruited. I think the challenge will be over the next 2 to 3 years, you know, it's the same program, you know, it's the same recruiting cachet, but Nick Saban, I think, was the best recruiter and evaluator in the history of the sport. It didn't matter how many assistants turned over from year to year. He was still pulling the same number one or close to it recruiting class. And we just haven't seen Kalen DeBoer have to recruit at that level. I mean, Washington was not expected to sign number one classes. It was a big deal if they signed a top 15 class. You know, next February, what will the 24/7 ranking say? Well, let's say the February after that. You know, obviously, if you were to go out and have an 8-4 season this year, people are going to panic. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think ultimately he's going to be measured by, okay, what does the program look a couple years from now when you're just kind of completely divorced at that point from the roster that they had under Nick Saban?
Stuart, the unknown is dealing with adversity, things that he really hasn't had to deal with. He's been such a great coach. And none of us here understand what it's like dealing with the pressure of Seattle, Washington. It doesn't seem overwhelming. But how do you think he will deal with the day-to-day pressure, assuming he loses a couple of games, doesn't make the playoffs, or maybe even if he does, doesn't go very far? We all know, anybody who's ever flipped this show on, by accident or as a regular, knows that the temperature of Alabama fans can be very hot and cold.
Yeah. I think it's very fortuitous for him that he's starting this job the same year that there's a 12-team playoff coming, right? I mean, the pressure, and Nick Saban, he always found a way somehow to not lose that second regular season game, or almost always. But, you know, the way Alabama fans and frankly the media too reacted to losing that Texas game second week of last year was so extreme because they then had no margin for error the rest of the year. Theoretically, Alabama could start 3-2 next year. And as long as they finish strong, they're going to be in the 12-team playoff. That's not to say people would be happy about it anytime they lose a game, but there's more margin for error. And, you know, the metric for Alabama success these past, I don't know, 15 years or whatever, was playing for national championships. That's not going to change. But what is going to change is they could lose a couple games and still have an opportunity to do that. And he and I actually talked quite a bit about, you know, he coached in NAIA where they had a large playoff. He's been in that situation before, and how he's going to manage. I think we're going to see this coming season the coaches of the programs that you most, you know, likely expect to be in a 12-team playoff at Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, and so on, how they're going to manage the toll of those extra games. Starting now, starting with how you manage guys' bodies over the course of the year, it's going to probably have a lot to do with who wins the championship at the end.
Stuart Mandel from The Athletic, recently visiting Kalen DeBoer in Tuscaloosa. Thank you very much, Stuart. We appreciate it. Interesting conversation there. We'll get your reaction to that the rest of the way as we come back right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Get all the interest in the caller bracket, but we feel it's probably time to move on and quit talking about it. It's been 24 hours, hasn't it? Larry is up next, who lost in the finals.
Well, yeah, Paul, you're right. It's time to quit talking about it. How'd you take the time to humiliate me and say, oh, you wasn't ever really in it. Larry wasn't ever
really
in it.
Well, you weren't. Larry, I'm just stating the facts, okay?
I didn't want to be in it to begin with, I told you. I've been sick for 2 freaking months with pulmonary problems. I couldn't even hardly come, not use it for no excuse. But you made it real easy for me to walk off Miss Show, Paul. You are really a piece of work.
Larry,
you sat
Larry,
there and what
Larry,
you said was one
Larry,
of
I was hoping you would
things.
Win, but you didn't. What can I do?
Person. No, you kissed my ass, Paul. You're a piece of work. And legend, take that stick you put in the yard and sit on it and spin around, Dr. Giggles. Now take that and stuff it. I'm serious, Paul. You made this real easy. Bye.
We can't control the outcome of a contest, Larry. We love you here. We've always been your friend. We hope you'll come back when you get over what happened. All I said was you were down by 10%. You were never in the front. I'm sorry you've been sick, but that had nothing to do with the outcome. Scott is next in Arkansas. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call. I hope I'm a friendlier caller than some of the ones you've had today.
The
reason I called, I'm a lifelong Razorback fan, and I've been watching your show all afternoon. And I kind of sense by a couple of the remarks that you've made when you're talking about Coach Cal that maybe you don't have a whole lot of use for him. And I just wanted you to elaborate on that some, good or bad.
Well, Scott, I've always respected him as a great basketball coach. I've always respected him in terms of what he has done to help people in that state. And that would probably be the extent of my respect for him.
Okay, okay. Well, as like I said, as a lifelong Razorback fan, I've hated him for years. I hated him when he was at Memphis. I hated him even more when he was at Kentucky. But God said you're not supposed to hate. I think maybe God's working on the Razorback fans now because I think the majority of us are ready to give him a fresh start and to see what he can do. And also, I want to wish Coach Musselman the very best at USC. I think in today's world with the transfer portal and the NIL money and social media, all the fans being able to get on there and blast everybody, I think it makes it hard for a coach to stay in one place for a long time.
Well, no, hey, Scott, by the way, I agree with you. I loved Musselman, became friends with him, and really pained me to see him go because he's someone that is really fun to be around, and I know what he's done for that community, and he's had enormous success. And by the way, I agree with you on Calipari. I think he will reboot. He needs to because what he was doing in Lexington wasn't working anymore, and
right.
His so-called act, if you want to call it that, had worn thin. That's all I was trying to say. He needed
and
to
that's
leave.
Fine. I respect that. I'm gonna give him a chance here in a couple years. I might hate him again. We'll just have to wait
and
see.
I think Arkansas will be better for him getting there, but I think we'll know pretty soon if he can move a lot of players there, which I bet he can. He'll be a media darling for a time, but he's not going to be Musselman in terms of the personal interaction. Calipari is very much a fat cat guy. Yeah, I mean, why is he in Fayetteville tonight? Because he's friends with the billionaires. I mean, that's not hard to figure out. That's the way it's always been for him in Memphis and everywhere else. I hope the fans of Arkansas, who are among the greatest basketball fans in the country, will be able to relate to him, and that usually comes through success. Thank you for the call. Thank you very, very much. Let's check out Shane, who is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Shane.
Hey, Paul, good afternoon. I've been on hold for 2 days, but thanks for taking
the call. Well, I'm glad you made it in.
Get a shout out to Legend. Congratulations. He won the bracket. He got voted for. That's done. And I've got a new meaning for AC and Jim. But on Calipari, you know, the writing was on the wall, Paul. It's great for the Kentucky program. But Calipari's definition is he's the NIL because he wants to protect his name always, his image. And he went to Arkansas where somebody might like him again. Because the fans run him off. And for AC and Jim, especially Jim, what's the name of that institution, Paul, down there at Tuscaloosa?
Bryce.
That institution? What?
Bryce Institution.
Yeah. Jim needs to go to Bryce Institution and get a mirror, and every time he calls you, because everything is coming out of Jim's mouth, he needs to be describing himself and not you.
No, you're right. Well, thank
you. I love the interview with Bratton and Cousin Shane. I watched it.
Oh, thank you. You can tell we really had fun with that.
Yeah, I love the Streisand concert. I love the story.
Yeah, I told some things in that interview with him. I'm not sure I've ever said publicly before, and maybe probably shouldn't have.
Oh, well, then maybe I shouldn't go any further.
No, no, yeah, it's out there in the public domain. Yeah, I told Bratton about some incident that happened to me when I went to a concert, and it was pretty funny.
Yeah, just remind Legend again, Legend, congratulations. But Tennessee did beat Alabama at Knoxville and Tuscaloosa this year. Thanks for taking my call, Paul.
Thank you very, very much. Great to have you on the program. We have one more hour to go. It's been a busy show. We talked to John Clay up in Lexington. He seemed to be indicating that at least the wind as of Tuesday afternoon, early evening, is Scott Drew has emerged as the leading candidate. He's at Baylor, won the national championship a couple of years ago there. Comes from a long line of coaches. His father was a coach at Valpo. His brother was once the coach at Vanderbilt. We'll take a short break, another hour to go. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.